Hello, world.
Hello. Here we are on Halloween. Actually, we're starting a little bit late. I think we've got those tricksters out there playing with us, trick-or-treat.
And that's the voice of Jan Sircone.
Welcome. And here's my partner and co-host for Live from Ordinary Miracles, Mr. Matt Kramer.
Good evening, Jan.
Hi, Matt. I love your voice.
Oh, well, thank you.
Actually, it's funny. That's what our work is about here. We talk about sound frequencies all day. We see clients about sound frequencies all through the voice.
And pretty magical show tonight. As a matter of fact, Jan's sitting in front of me looking pretty magical. I'll have to go get my camera later. If you can imagine, she's in a long flowing white dress with beautiful gold jewelry and beads and a headpiece. Kind of looking like the priestess you've been for about 3,500 generations.
That's absolutely right. I've got you all in line here. Actually, I'm Isis tonight, and Isis is the queen mother of all the priestesses, the divine mother, one of the archetype beautiful faces, the mother of all the world, of all the elements and nature. And I'm wearing her beautiful headpiece from Egypt, which I picked up in Egypt, and a beautiful velvet robe with peacocks on it. And actually, I came from a wonderful birthday Halloween party with Indian food, but I think this is the perfect costume for tonight on Samhain, Halloween, October 31st.
Well, I'll take a picture and we'll get it on our website next week.
Well, tonight we do have a wonderful guest. We'll be bringing her on in a bit, Kathleen Laima, and we'll have her help us with that pronunciation, Graham, who is a live, fully functioning priestess of the Isis lineage. She's a sacred dancer and a snake priestess, and I have had the privilege of working with her and experiencing her magic of leading women through temple-style dancing. And yes, she did have a wonderful snake around her neck. So I'm very excited. We'll be bringing her on just a little bit and talk with her. Is this all kind of new for you, Matt, all the priestess?
Oh, I've kind of danced along the edges over the years.
Well,
I want to say, for those of you who want to do do some reading while you're listening, you can go to Kathleen's website, www.goddesswork.com. Goddesswork.com.
Well, we thought we would sort of set the mood tonight by discussing a little bit of Halloween's ancient origins, which are pagan, and much of the priestess work comes from the Druid, Egyptian, and Celtic priestesses. So we thought we would just share with you a little bit about Halloween's true origin, much different than we now experience it in our modern society.
You want me to read this paragraph here?
Yeah.
Okay. Tracing ancient origins. Halloween's origins date back to ancient Celtic festival of Samhain, or Samhain, it says.
Samhain.
Samhain. S-A-M-H-A-I-N. Those of you priestesses who are listening, please forgive my pronunciations if I don't quite get it.
This is a training, Matt. This
okay.
is the divine feminine working with the divine masculine right here live.
Okay, the festival of Samhain. The Celts, who lived 2,000 years ago in the area that is now Ireland, United Kingdom, and northern France, celebrate the new year on November the 1st. This day marked the end of summer and the harvest, and the beginning of the dark, cold winter, a time of year that was often associated with human death. Celts believed that on the night before the new year, the boundary between the worlds of the living and the dead became blurred. On the night of October 31st, they celebrated Samhain, when it was believed that the ghosts of the dead returned to Earth. In addition to causing trouble and damaging crops, Celts thought that the presence of the otherworldly spirits made it easier for the Druids, or Celtic priests, to make predictions about the future. For people entirely dependent upon the volatile natural world, these prophecies were an important source of comfort and direction during the long, dark winter. To commemorate the event, Druids built sacred bonfires where people gathered to burn crops and animals as sacrifices to the Celtic deities. During the celebration, the Celts wore costumes typically consisting of animal heads and skins and attempted to tell each other's fortunes. Not sure what that means. They attempted to. When the celebration was over, they relit their hearth fires, which they had extinguished earlier in the evening, from the sacred bonfire to help protect them during the coming winter. By 43 A.D., Romans had conquered the majority of Celtic territory. In the course of the 400 years that they ruled the Celtic lands, two festivals of Roman origin were combined with the traditional Celtic celebration of Samhain. The first was Feralia, a day in late October when the Romans traditionally commemorated the passing of the dead. The second was a day to honor Pomona, the Roman goddess of fruit and trees. The symbol of Pomona is the apple, and the incorporation of the celebration into Samhain probably explains the tradition of bobbing for apples that's practiced today on Halloween. By the 800s, the influence of Christianity had spread into Celtic lands. In the 7th century, Pope Boniface IV designated November 1st as All Saints' Day, a time to honor saints and martyrs. Probably didn't honor the pagan martyrs, you know. It is widely believed today that the Pope was attempting to replace the Celtic festival of the dead with a related but church-sanctioned holiday. You know, Rhian Eisler talked about that. The celebration was also called All Hallows or All Hallow Mass from the Middle English, a hollow mass meaning All Saints' Day. And the night before, the night of Samhain, began to be called All Hallows' Eve and eventually Halloween. Even later, in 1000 AD, the church would make November 2nd All Souls' Day, a day to honor the dead. It was celebrated similarly to Samhain, with big bonfires, parades, and dressing up in costumes as saints, angels, and devils. Together, the three celebrations, the Eve of All Saints, All Saints, and All Souls, were all called Hallowmas.
You know, as I listen to you read that, it makes my heart sad and happy at the same time. One, I see the absolute magnificent weaving of the earth festivals, the people, the color, the bonfires, the togetherness. And I feel, in a great sense, that is lost in our present-day society. And you gave a hint there that Christianity actually wrote the priestess and her role out as healer, as the festival keeper. When I actually Googled today about priestesses, I was horrified to find that what I brought up was a couple of paragraphs about priestesses, and the rest was all about the priesthood and the prescribed clothing they wear and all of the different sacred rituals that they do. Thank goodness we now have today a resurgence of priestess programs, priestess books. I have a beautiful book here right in front of me written by Sharon Rose. It's The Path of the Priestess, a guidebook for awakening the divine feminine. She also is a beautiful dancer, like our guest tonight. And she tells how priestesses all through time, mainly in ancient times, before they were written out and burned as witches, and I'm glad we're doing this on October 31st, bring this message home, that the priestesses were the keeper of the light, the ritual, the heart-centered community, and it was the feminine. The absolute feminine. So when we say it's awakening the divine feminine, it's the feminine principles that were coming through. So when I Googled today, I brought up the ancient religions, and they did say, although the historical records are fragmentary, archaeological artifacts are sometimes difficult to interpret without written records. The earliest historical records, those of Egypt, indicate the fertility cults were officiated by women for a great length of time before the priests were evident. Also, the cult centers officiated by priestesses for Isis were as far away as in Britain, which then was transplanted by Romans and Greeks in the 600 AD. A similar situation seemed to prevail in other Mediterranean cultures. Those of Crete show priestesses almost exclusively in what appears to be ceremonial rituals. So thank goodness that we're understanding now there was a predominance of the feminine in all of these wonderful festivals and healing, and it's being brought and alive well today. Right here in Sonoma County, we have Isis Oasis, which many of the, there's two or three priestess training groups here in the Bay Area. One is through Jay Lynn, one is through Nancy Dew. And maybe when Kathleen comes on, she can tell us of any other programs. And for those that are listening, they might say, what would a modern day woman initiate, keeper of the light, what would she study that she could apply these principles of the feminine for healing the earth today? So I have right here a little listing of what would be included in a planetary priestess program. I myself was a graduate 2 years ago, I'm happy to say, and I'm a full ordained minister. So the program can vary from teacher to teacher, but these are the sorts of things. How to live in harmony with the cycles of the moon goddess, celebrate the espots, dance in rhythm with the holy days of the year, the wheel of life, the sabbats, create sacred space and ritual, and that's through all of life, the birth, the death, the meals, the weddings, learn the ways and teaching of the medicine wheel, grow in respect for Turtle Island, honor our own and one another's truths, discuss universal laws and the laws of Maat, embody and share many goddesses of different cultures and traditions, awaken and develop our rainbow light body and enforce our skills of protection, empower each other with acceptance and encouragement, travel beyond time and space in dream and shaman journeys, focus and still our minds with meditative techniques. This is my favorite part. Dance, drum, chant, and sing. Take time for retreat and renewal. Learn and use healing symbols and develop talents and skills as healer, leader, and teacher as one chooses. Oh, someone's screaming outside. That's a proclamation that's true when you hear a bell or someone screaming. There's a little Halloween scream right outside our store here. I brought a beautiful poem here tonight before we bring Kathleen in, and I'm going to accompany it with a fairly ancient-sounding instrument, a tamora monochord combination. And I have asked my wonderful male partner here to read this beautiful temple poem with me before we invite our guest.
I thread my way carefully towards temple. I and my sister travelers, ahead and behind, quickly, here is a path, disappearing in tangles of history. There, make a new one, close at hand, close to home.
I, quietly by the thousands, step into a shrine of my own making. I and the multitudes of women who have slipped silently away from the man's ceremonies.
We dare to come right into the heartbeat of love, naming it woman, calling it holy. We decorate the altar with mirrors, dance praise to breast and womb, as it was in the beginning.
As it is now, the tabernacle is invisible to those who cannot read our codes. Sister pilgrims file into the circle, a throng of worshipers. We speak in tongues of song and drum, reverent before our own images, jubilant to invent our own litanies.
I have peered behind the inmost veil and discovered a myriad of me, spinning life and death, mapping new ventures of soul.
I and all these tribes' women, charmed with power to fire galaxies, spellbound to each other and to the earth, as it evermore shall be. Matt, you were a good sport on that one. You had to actually read the feminine line.
Well, that's actually quite fun.
I know you enjoy your jokes, and we've chosen a joke together tonight, so it's priestess approved. Tell your joke.
Well, it also provides a little bit of balance. So, as part of an interfaith community project, a right-wing Christian priest, a rabbi and a pagan priestess decide that in order to improve relations in the community, they're going to go on a fishing trip on a local pond. They're out in the boat, and the pagan priestess excuses herself to go to shore. She gets out, walks upon the water to shore, then walks back upon the water to the boat. The Christian priest looks on in amazement, crosses himself, and they continue fishing. A couple hours later, it's time for lunch, and the rabbi realizes they left their lunches back on shore. So he gets up, walks across the water to the shore, retrieves the lunches, and walks back upon the water to the boat. The Christian priest is now completely amazed and feeling a little bit righteous, thinks, I'm not going to be outdone by two heathens. I can do that too. He gets up, excuses himself to go to the bathroom, steps out of the boat, and promptly sinks to the bottom. While he's flailing around in the water, the rabbi looks at the priestess and says, do you think we should have told him about the stepping stones? The priestess says, what stepping stones?
That's a good one. Kathleen, I hear you giggling at that one. Hi.
Hi there.
Welcome. Hi.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, thank you.
Well, welcome to our show tonight. We were taking a look at your website and seeing all your fabulous costumes and the snake around your neck. Do you want to tell them how they can take a look at your website?
Well, you can go to www.goddesswork.com. And I have another website for something that I recently have produced, and that is www.snakeyoga.com. And you can go to that website, and you can see clips of my snake yoga practice.
Oh, it's
and
beautiful.
You can also see clips of the meditation section, and you can purchase it online as well. I just finished it, so I'm very, very proud. It took me, it was basically a 3-year labor of love.
Now, describe snake yoga and how that is a part of your priestess work. And
well, as you know, I am an ordained snake priestess in the Temple of Isis, and it's so fitting that we're celebrating this evening on Samhain and discussing the path of the priestess, because it's been 10 years since I was ordained in October, so it's a very special month for me. And the path of the snake is something that has been coming to me my entire life. From a small child, I was raised Catholic, and I grew up in rattlesnake country. And one morning, as a young Catholic girl, I looked up at a statue of Mary with the snake at her feet, and Mary came to life and winked at me and smiled, and the snake came to life, and she said, shh, now you know my secret.
Uh-huh.
Then I was probably only 10 or 12, and I thought,
Catholic
wow.
Good Catholic girl with the Mother Mary coming awake with the snake.
So I knew enough to be quiet about it, and that was the beginning of a very interesting journey for me. Snake yoga came about many years later, after I had already become a snake priestess, and it came to me at a time when I was ill and recovering from a thyroid condition, and it came to me in very specific poses with a very specific breath that I call snake breath. And it's designed for women, for women's bodies, particularly women going through any kind of health issues or menopause.
Oh, excellent.
So I'm proud to say that it's not skinny stick pretzel, you know, yoga style. And
Matt and I are watching it, and it actually looks like a very soft, gentle. I'm seeing lots of spine curving in a cobra position. Very sweet.
Right.
Listeners, there's a DVD playing on her website, the snakeyoga.com.
Right.
My priestess friend Journey just ordered your program, and she's up in Gardnerville and has a healing clinic there, and she said it's so beautifully packaged.
Oh, good. I love Journey.
So
yes, she's actually done that work with me. She's done the snake yoga work with me. So it's one of the ways that I serve the goddess. I wanted to mention that I serve three goddesses. Usually when a priestess, at least in the Temple of Isis, we are usually asked to take three goddesses to serve. And I chose Hathor. Well, actually, Hathor chose me. That's the thing about being a priestess. It's usually the goddess that chooses you.
Yeah.
And you either follow the call or you don't. But in this case, Hathor chose me. And Hathor, of course, is the goddess of divine love and play and joy and pleasure and dance and music, actually, too. So, first of all, I serve Hathor, and then I chose Lakshmi because I have been a yogini for many years. And Lakshmi, of course, is the Hindu goddess of what some say is abundance, but I see her as a goddess very much of health and preservation. And so I made my yoga video to honor Lakshmi, and I do my sacred dances to honor Hathor. And then I also serve the goddess Bridget, the Celtic goddess.
Oh,
Bridget, who's also a snake goddess, Celtic druid mother. And for her, I'm writing my book.
Oh, you have a book coming as well.
I do. I've been working on my memoir. It is called Dancing the Inner Serpent, Memoirs of a Snake Priestess. And it tells all of these myriad stories and the spirals and meanderings of how this all came to be for me. I didn't wake up one morning and say, I think I'll be a snake priestess. It's something that's been growing very organically for me my whole life.
I think that the whisperings that come to us at a young age, and it's only through time and maturity that we can integrate it as modern-day women into pretty much everyday life. And when I put on the event, the Sacred Divine Feminine, and you came that day, my funnest vision of you is carpooling your child to school and then going home, donning your costume. I've seen your dancing at Isis Oasis with the gold glitter and the
Oh, you saw Hathor. You lucky.
Hathor. Hathor's
one of the best
goddess
ever.
And it is just the most rich. When you moved, every single gesture seemed to embody some sort of ancient message. When you dance Hathor, are you telling a story? Is she helping you? I know sometimes that the actual movements and poses or mudras, and that you can actually go into that interdimensional state?
Correct.
Explain to me the process of how...
Well, you know, I have been doing the goddess dances now since 1980. So what is that, 27 years? I made my first goddess dance in 1980, and that was Isis. Little did I know that at that point that I would become a priestess of Isis. So they do channel through me. I happen to have a very open body from all of my years in classical training and dance and yoga and through my meditation practices. So they come in different ways. Sometimes the costume will come first. Sometimes the music will come first. Sometimes the dance will just come and I have to find the music in the costume. Other times, this last one that I just made for convocation was the goddess Neith, and she's the oldest of the old. She's pre-dynastic. She's like the setting sun and the sun as it goes under the earth and the pre-dawn energy. So she's a very deep goddess, kind of a dark goddess, and she's also a warrior goddess. And that one got the costume, got the music, couldn't choreograph the dance until the very last minute. Everything came together at the very last minute because she was so intense. I had to just pretty much pull it together within a day or two before I danced it. And, of course, I dance these dances in ritual space. They're not generally done for performance. You know, audience that witness it is usually in sacred space already.
Right.
They don't applaud for me. They hold the energy. And each goddess is different, you know, depending on what vibration her archetype represents. In the case of the Hathor piece, it's love and joy and music and beauty and pleasure. And that piece I just had so much fun choreographing and to harp music, beautiful harp music. And
let me ask you this. It does seem that as priestesses, we are being asked to integrate the beauty of these messages, of these archetype goddesses and individuals, and that this needs to get out to mainstream women. I myself often say, how can I bring it to a group and create a quiet, sacred space where they can take it in the proper way? Or do we just go to places that the women already know to drop into that place? Do you find yourself being called to bring it to new audiences and new... Do you get what I'm saying?
I do, and I think it's really important and very crucial in this time that women can identify with the sacred feminine. It's so important. That's one of the things I'm trying to achieve with the yoga video, is to bring it to a mainstream audience through a very simple yoga practice and calling it sacred feminine wisdom, so that women can be encouraged to drop in to their deeper level of instinctual knowing. Most women have it on some level.
They do. And if we're able to find the languaging and the attitude, I find that humor is a great way. If we don't take ourselves too seriously,
right,
because of the image and a little bit of the witchcraft business and such, that people, you know, have to get past some of that, so there's a comfort zone. And if we use our voice and our attitudes and lead them in carefully and slowly through their own cultural languaging and images, I find that then I'm more successful.
Right. Now, you just said a word that I want to clarify here. You said the word witchcraft. Now, there are priestesses of the Wiccan path. And I want to clarify the difference, because I do not consider myself a witch. Mm-hmm. And I really don't like being called a witch. Mm-hmm. I don't do magic. I don't cast spells, mm-hmm. you know, blah, blah, blah. For me, that's kind of passé. I am a priestess. And the way that I've been trained by my teachers, by my mentors, Lady Lorion and Lady Olivia Robertson, so this, I come from a lineage. Lady Olivia
exactly.
is 90 years old now. She lives in Ireland in a castle, Clonagall Castle. And this is it's an ancient lineage
yes.
that she's brought through. And Lady Lorion,
of
course.
Isis.
Pardon me?
It's through the lineage of Isis, correct?
Through the lineage of Isis.
Right.
So because of that, I never call myself a witch. We believe that the heart is above the will. So in some of the Wiccan practices, you can do as you will with harm to none. You can do magic, cast spells, whatever. But on the path of the priestess, I believe that it's the heart above the will. So it's love above the will.
Yes.
And I think the key is, you know, love and enlightenment. It is much more of an upper chakra type of work. Even though I do work with the darker goddesses and the intense energies that come
yes.
through those goddesses, I don't do Wiccan practice. It's different. I'm very steeped in the ancient Egyptian practices.
Yes, I understand
that. As much as, you know, as we know about them.
Again,
and that's a very important
distinction. And discernment and clear expression without judgment of however women wish to express through their projects and their lives, their various works, that Wiccan and witchcraft, that we respect that, but what we are talking about here is something different. It is the lineage through Isis. Yes.
Right, and I do agree with what you said at the beginning of your program this evening of her being, you know, the ancient mother of all. She is often called She of 10,000 Names, and you can embody any aspect of her. That's one of the reasons I think that the Egyptian pantheon is so vast, that, you know, Isis embodies all of the different Neturu. Neturu actually means nature, and helps us to respect the sacred and the magical aspects of nature, so that the animals become gods and goddesses.
Yes.
You have a frog goddess, and you have a cow goddess. In fact, Hathor is a cow goddess. And so it teaches us so much about revering the sacredness of nature. So, and I'm going to Egypt in 2 days, so I'm really excited about that.
I'm going next April. What will be the focus of your tour? What do you plan to do there?
Well, I'm going with three of the most powerful priestesses on the planet at this time, I believe. I'm going with Nikki Scully, who is leading the group and with her company called Shamanic Journeys, and she's led people, she's led over 30 tours to Egypt, so she is very loved and respected in Egypt. And she works with the shamanic mysteries of the Egyptian pantheon to awaken the mind and the heart. And then Normandy Ellis is accompanying her, and she's an incredible priestess, a sage, and a brilliant writer and scholar. She reads hieroglyphs, and she wrote the book Dreams of Isis, Awakening Osiris, and The Going Forth by Day, which is the Egyptian Book of the Dead. And she goes throughout Jean Houston's book, The Passion of Isis and Osiris.
Oh, yes. That is the most profound, actually, activity sort of oriented book. I have that.
Uh-huh.
Very wonderful.
Yeah, well, anyway, she is just, I'm so happy to be going with her. And then also Mary Greer is one of the leaders. And Mary wrote the book Women of the Golden Dawn. And she's written a number of tarot books, so there's going to be a little bit of a focus on the tarot on this trip.
Well,
but we'll be in all
like
the temples, we'll be doing ceremony, and I suspect I'll probably be doing some sacred serpent work with the cobra goddesses.
Will you be taking any of your snakes along?
Oh, of course not.
Well, I didn't imagine.
No, I wouldn't be able to get on a plane.
And
you know,
snake
I couldn't
them in your
even.
Purse or
no, I used to. I
no,
used
wait
to.
A minute. If you're a priestess, you could warp time and space, and your little guy can meet you in the temple.
I'm actually a little bit nervous about what Nikki might be having me do because we're both. We both love the goddess Wadjet, and she's the ancient cobra goddess of protection that's seen on the crowns of deities and royalty in Egypt.
That's beautiful.
So,
actually, I have a little Nefertiti pen right here, and it's probably a cobra sticking right on this. I said, Matt, you're prepared for me tonight.
Well, anyway, you know, it's not always a fun path. I also want to say that. I think when you meet a priestess who is the real thing, you know, it's so much more than meets the eye. I always tell priestesses that I ordain that it really is about being of service, particularly right now, being a planetary priestess.
Yes.
And stepping up and finding what is your role in helping to bring the level of love up on the planet, because we can accomplish great things when we bring up that level of love and awareness. And
the word that comes to mind that as I was looking through your website and what the primary role of a modern-day priestess is to, through her beingness and her higher frequencies, to actually bring through transmissions to initiate. Now, I read on your website that you initiate through the role of the snake? Pick up? Yeah, how actually, what is your idea of initiation? And can you speak to that, using the snake as a...
Well, the snake is a metaphor for transformation, for healing, for regeneration and rebirth. And so I actually have my own organization, my own ICM. It's called Isis of the Snakes ICM, which Lady Olivia insisted that I start. I have found very few worthy priestesses, I must admit, because the path of the snake priestess in particular is a very rigorous one.
Very
you
narrow.
Have to be completely devoted to transformation, whatever that looks like. And it's not always easy and or pretty. You know, I've had various women come through my work who have had major life changes after they've done the work, you know, broken up with partners, moved out of the country,
absolutely,
done all kinds of things,
yep,
because they've been able to tap into their instinctual wisdom and know what their personal truth is. And when you get there, then there's no turning back. That, to me, is what, you know, really honoring the snake within. What is your own internal kundalini
getting really,
telling
really
you?
Real, deeply.
And how can you honor your own life force to go forward and be true to yourself and your purpose on the planet in this day and age, at this very moment in history?
Mm-hmm.
big order, you know.
Now, Matt and I work so deeply with the voice. Are you also finding that the women that you're working with and through the yoga, that you're helping them release this, the most powerful communication mechanism? Are you working with some of your...
With the voice, not so much specifically, but definitely with the breath, because the snake breath is inhaling through the nose, but exhaling through the mouth on a long, slow hiss.
So if people wanted to work with you, tell us about any upcoming programs or projects where they might come and see you or work with you.
Well, I certainly can work with people privately. I can work with training priestesses privately if they want to work with me. I usually haven't been ordaining too many priestesses these days, or priests. I happen to have a lot of priests coming my way. Not a lot, but it's different for me to have men start being interested in the work. And so I actually did ordain a young man, a priest, 2 years ago, and he's been an extraordinary healer. So people can work with me privately. What I really would love is for people to come and do the work with me at Isis Oasis. Once a year we host a convocation, and it's the first weekend in October. And we learn so much. We dedicate each year to a new goddess, a different goddess, and I dance her at the beginning and at the end.
Yes,
and we learn all about that goddess. So it's actually a wonderful way to really deepen in the knowledge and wisdom of the ancient Egyptian goddesses. So that's one way people can work with me, is directly through Isis Oasis, the Temple of Isis. And privately, right now I don't have workshops scheduled, but what I'm hoping to do when I return from Egypt in 2 weeks is to take my yoga video and go to different yoga studios. I think the goddess energy is really needed in the yoga world, because the yoga world has been very masculine. And I got a great quote from a woman who just wrote a book called Yogini, The Power of Women in Yoga. And so I purposely made the yoga video with women of different ages, shapes, and sizes as my models. One of them is one of my priestesses, and she was 64 when we shot the video. And so I wanted women to see that yoga is not just for young, skinny girls.
Absolutely.
And that yoga is also for women that are, you know, fully endowed with breasts and bellies and buttocks, you know. So I kind of want to take that sensual energy of the priestess into the yoga world. And so I'll probably start trying to teach at different yoga studios, doing little workshops here and there. Okay. And who knows what's going to happen after my whole Egyptian initiation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open.
Your
I'm open
life,
to the path that the goddess lays
door.
Before me.
Mm-hmm. Yep, your life could change on one major hieroglyphic experience. I know mine did in Egypt when I had my sound experiences. Matt has a question for you.
Okay.
Before we finish up here.
Yeah, I mean, the hour is just pretty rich and full and drifting away. I'd like you to talk about your snakes. Tell us.
Oh, thank you. What a wonderful question. My snakes are like family. And two of them, my two older ones, their names are Nadaba, named after the ancient Sumerian goddess of writing and the goddess who created the laws, the spiritual laws for humans. And she is a ball python. And she has a partner named Monty Python. And they are both, I think, about 20 years old. I've been dancing with the two of them since I was pregnant with my son, and he's turning 18 next month. In fact, my son was born in the year of the snake, and that's how all of this started waking up inside my body. Is I danced when I was 9 months pregnant with him with my snake for the first time. And then I have a baby corn snake, and his name is Pyro, because he looks like fire, and he's very playful and kind of a whimsical. Corn snakes are very fun. They're pretty gentle. All my snakes are gentle, and although I did get bit by my boa, whose name is Isis, and she's a healer. And
what did you learn from that?
Oh, my gosh. I was a little, it happened 3 minutes before I was going on to perform. And I had to ground really fast. And I was also not only performing, I was leading ceremony. As soon as I finished dancing, I was leading a spiral dance for Halloween.
You know, in the book The Initiation by Elizabeth Hache, which is one of the most perfect biographies, she said that a priestess has to be able to, in 1 second, stand up and fearlessly address a large crowd or bend down and tend a little kitten in distress. That is the role of the priestess, to rise in all of her grandeur for whatever is needed in the moment. So I think your snake biting is a pretty good example of that. Kathleen, you are a wonderful guest tonight. And it's just amazing to me how you're bringing it through the body, through the yoga. It's just a very, very beautiful thing. We wish you the greatest experience in Egypt. It sounds like you're going with the dream team.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me on the show tonight. I'm just delighted and honored.
Oh, it was really fun.
I know Matt looks forward to seeing your Hathor dance.
Yeah. Eventually, I want to put them all on a video because I've got
fabulous.
Such a collection of them now, you know,
it's
before
so
I get
beautiful.
Too old.
You're so graceful and you embody the goddess so beautifully. Well, thank you, Kathleen.
Now, how can I hear this radio show?
You go right into the archives. In about 2 days, it'll be.
Well, we didn't mention, bbsradio.com /ordinary miracles. And there is an archive section, and we noticed a lot of our shows are up there.
Right.
And each one is unique, and this certainly is a unique show.
Yep. I met a fellow today, came over for a voice bio. Matt, he's listened to every one of our shows. Mark, we love you.
Okay, tell me it again, please. BBS.com?
BBSradio.com.
Oh, radio.com.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Live from Ordinary Miracle.
For the archives. bbsradio.com/ordinary miracles, one word. And that takes you right to the show page.
Great. Well, thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you both so much.
Very good.
And happy Samhain.
Oh, thank you. Happy Halloween.
A blessed new year, as they say.
To another.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Good night.
Let's see.
Upcoming guest, Matt.
Well, the next 2 weeks, Jan, you're traveling for 2 weeks.
I will be at the World Sound Healing Conference, and I want everyone to think good thoughts. I'm the backup speaker for the second year in the row. I'm still like, what is it, the car rental
agency? The bench
warmer. That's, and last year they called me at the last second, but of course I wasn't there, I didn't know, and my boss stepped in. He said, well, I know Jan Sircone, and she's not here, and I'll speak. So everything, the universe is perfect, but I'm ready to go. I'll have my PowerPoint, so... Everyone, think good thoughts. The World Sound Healing Conference in Santa Fe, put on by bizspirit.com, and I'll be there at the Resonant Living booth meeting people. It's going to be a wonderful time, November 8th through the 12th, I believe.
So why don't you talk about Diane on the 21st?
Diane Mandel is a woman who sings and plays Tibetan bowls, and she is a healer, a gifted sound healer. November 28th will be Katie Ketchum. She runs an outrageous, fun, actually rap music show about Mary Magdalene, Sacred Divine Feminine. December 5th, I'm seeing a real trend here, Matt. We're going to get some of your guitar-picking friends on to balance this out. Right now, what is needed, though, is the predominance of feminine energy. So Journey Harrison will be on December 5th. She is a healing priestess from Gardnerville, Nevada. December 12th is Susan Hale, and she is a profound singer who sings in sacred spaces.
Well, I had folks lined up for November 7 and 14, and they wound up going out of town as well.
Uh-huh.
And so I have a challenge for those of us who are listening. If you have sort of a healing path and a story to tell, email me if you'd like to be the guest on November 7th, and you can email me at matt@mattkramer.com, MATTKRAMER.com, and maybe you'll be our guest next week.
I have a couple more things to say about the High Priestess, but since it's Halloween, I was thinking of some Halloween-y sort of things, and for some reason, the Wizard of Oz, the movie, came up for me. My mother looked exactly like The Wicked Witch. In the beginning of the movie, when she comes and steals Toto, I'll take that dog, my pretty.
And you sound just like her, too.
Well, it's the lineage, right? I tell you, my mother, in her everyday black hair, fair skin, and big nose, looked exactly like that woman who said, I'll take that little dog from you right this second. And later became the witch. So my entire childhood, I had this inner fear that my mother, too, would change from her mild mannered self into the Wicked Witch. I know what kind of imagery that is. I don't know that. I just wanted to share that. That was like a childhood deep subconscious fear. I know I need voice mapping for it. Maybe we should give ourselves a little commercial here. I'm Jan Sircone. My website is Music for Joy and Healing. And I use sound frequencies of my voice through concert, workshops, private consultations, but mainly the voice bio that can show you which frequencies are percolating too high and too low. And sometimes when people have really too strong of emotions, I send them over to Matt Kramer.
And voice mapping is a process that uses the information in the frequencies present and missing in your voice. And there's a lot of information in our voice. The muscles throughout your body have subtle impacts that most of us can't hear. But with the voice mapping equipment, it actually shows what emotions are connected to anything you talk about, which is connected to historical incidents of stress and trauma. So people often don't realize that where some of their anxiety, their depression, frustration, maybe their lack of social grace can all be connected to just places that are blocked based on old historical experiences. And voice mapping uses those frequencies in your voice, feeds them back to you in a way that kind of stimulates the place where you're stuck so it can be released and processed and you can actually be much more present.
Matt, you are a priest of sound healing.
Okay.
Look at the look on his face. Listen, we're going to finish up tonight with I brought something very special. It was a song given to me on the bus on the way to Egypt, to the airport. This fellow looked at me and said, you know what? Are you a singer? You're the woman in my dream. I have a song that was given to me, and I believe it's for you. When I had these interesting major light experiences in the temples of Egypt, I started singing this song. I since have been given the imagery that it's about the merging of the divine feminine and masculine. So I put the words Isis and Osiris to it. So I'm going to have Seth bring this in one moment. This is from my CD, As Above, So Below. It is the fifth song, the Isis and Osiris chant, given to me by Tim. While he cues the song up, I'm going to speak a little bit more about the High Priestess. This is from the Internet. The High Priestess is the guardian of the unconscious. She sits in front of the thin veil of unawareness, which is all that separates us from our inner landscape. She contains within herself the secrets of these realms and offers us the silent invitation, be still and know that I am God. So we'll finish up with our song tonight, and I'll say right now, good night, Matt.
Good night, Jan. Have a great journey. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks.
Roll 'em, Seth.
Isis and Osiris chant.
Mm-hmm. Horus, Isis, Osiris, Horus.
Did you know your name and date of birth speak volumes about you as a person and as a spiritual being? Well, your personal numerology can shine a light on your life's purpose, your true potential, and give you insight about your soul's journey in this lifetime. Join Allison Bachman, host of Visible by Numbers, Monday nights at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio, as she unlocks the secrets of how to live a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life by using numerology as a guide. You'll be inspired by Allison's passion, her amazing on-air readings, insightful topics, and guests. You don't want to miss Allison's show Monday nights on BBS. Visit Allison at www.visiblebynumbers.com for more information. Be well.
Like that wise old bird.
But I got something that helps keep me strong. It don't matter what goes right or what goes wrong. I got the power to drive the blues away. Don't matter how rainy the day, I will drive the blues away. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Brentwood from Legion of Love. Just letting you know you can now hear some of our new released and unreleased tracks on our website, legionoflove.com. You can also purchase our EPs, Grey Matter Tunes and Matters of the Heart, as well as all of our singles, including Shine a Light and Love is the Answer, at most major download sites. And of course, you can hear them on BBS Radio, the number one internet radio network in the world. Peace and love.
Hey everybody, this is Lee Nathan Drake. I am the star of science fiction show Lex the Dark Zone. Well, I hope you're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's show on bbsradio.com. See, well, if you want to do Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy.
Health Science and.
Oh, what was it?
Health Science and.
Health Science.
Just say you're listening to Dr. Bell's Health Science and.
And Energy.
Health Science and.
Energy show?
That yeah. works. In fact, I can
edit. Health, Energy, and Science show.
Health, Science, and...
We just call it the Dr. Bell show.
Okay, well, that's what I did.
Same thing, only a little shorter. Yeah, same thing. Health, Science, and...